God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Appreciate you being with me tonight. My guests tonight, Logan Ames, Ben Sorbello, and Nick Stroman, all the way from Pennsylvania over near Dover, PA. And Logan, what church are you with again?
Friendship Community Church.
Friendship Community Church. And where can they find info about the church?
Friendshipchurch.org.
Friendshipchurch.org. Friends is where you can find that. And, you know, Ben, you've been there, you said, since 2020, right?
Well, I've been a pastor since 2020. I started there. I'm a recovering Catholic, and I've been at Friendship since 2013. June of 2013. Officially.
Oh, so you went through seminary in there, didn't you, through the church?
No, I went. seminary. I took a class. They have classes now.
Oh.
Pastoral Track Institute, PTI or MTI.
Was that through Weinbrenner Seminary?
Sort of, kind of, yes. It's a breed of that.
I'm beginning to see that Ben is a little, interesting. you've taken a great path, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, friends, again, tonight we are hoping to go through just a little bit and address things that happened. Gosh, I don't even know. Was that a month ago or so? The United States Supreme Court had made a ruling about Roe v. Wade and just went into, well, they basically rescinded that. And now they're saying, well, that goes back to the states and you can decide what you want to do, basically. And let's just be honest, much in the country, many people in the country, I'd say even some of the world, went nutso. I don't know how else to put that. And they were not happy. And some may say rightfully so, but it's done. Mm-hmm. So now, as Christians, how do we lovingly reach out to people, whether they, you know, supported it or not? How do we engage with people that may think differently than us on this issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first way that we should engage with people is by giving them our correct website, which I have now failed to do twice.
That's amazing.
For the pastor to not even know the correct website of the church is pretty horrible. But I confess that I haven't had to type it in a very long time. I just go to the app. By the way, we actually, for your smartphone, we have a Friendship Community Church app. The actual website is friendshipcommunity.org, not friendshipchurch.org. If you go to friendshipchurch.org, it's Friendship Baptist Church, as I just figured out on my phone. So they're probably great people, too. But friendshipcommunity.org. So as far as how the church, you know, responds to...
Well, hey, before you say that, so, friends, this is a great opportunity now where people can go, Logan, it's good. We forgive you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what Christians do.
Praise the Lord.
All right, go ahead.
Guys, feel free to jump in. Whatever. I just, you know, how do we respond to this? I mean, we have to speak the truth in love, as you talk about all the time, Jason. You know, there's no wiggle room on the truth of who's responsible for life, and who is in control of life. God is the author of life. Scripture says, God ordained our days before we were born. God called us in the womb, as he called Jeremiah. All of these things are scriptures that we need to stand on. But it goes beyond that. And we have to have the proper position before God on this. And the proper position before God on this is not a political one. Okay?
Amen.
Do not buy into the lie that the right side is right and the left side is wrong on this issue, because as Jason and I have talked many times, this has been a two-party issue in our country, including the original Roe v. Wade decision being handed down by a Republican majority Supreme Court of the United States in 1973. If you don't believe me, look it up. That's the truth. So it's not a political
decision. And
just so
you know, some people right now are like, that is hot pokers to my ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were Richard Nixon appointees. And, I mean, I believe it was a 6-3 majority, and I think 5 of the 6 Republicans voted yes on Roe, and 1 of the Democrats voted yes. I believe it was Maybe it was 7-2. Maybe it was 2 out of 3 Democrats. I think it was 7-2 majority. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
No.
The point is, you know, this is not a political issue. For people of faith, this is a matter of faith and trust in the Lord.
Ben, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, I believe that when you get right down to it, and like Pastor Logan was just saying, it's a matter of where you're putting your faith in. And I think it was kind of like a shaking, you know, a faith shaking, if you will, because then you get to really see the big church, the little church, you know, and what their definition of faith in the Word and in truth and in the Father. And that's something for us, and I think something that we've witnessed is people's reactions.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Absolutely. Nick, you want to add to that?
Well, you know, when you hang out with two pastors, you don't get a chance to talk a whole lot. So
that's very true. Well, I'm giving you a chance.
So, and you know, I definitely want to echo what Ben and Logan both said. You know, I look at it from a standpoint of, now that this has passed, I mean, to me, it's just the beginning, right? We have definitely neglected, I think, as a church, supporting organizations or even being the boots yourself on the ground that promote life. And so just even beyond, you know, we can pray for folks. We can do, you know, locally, we have an organization called Human Life Services that is a pro-life organization that we've supported. And I've supported them for years before we've supported them at the church. Just a great organization that puts the right resources into the women that are thinking about having an abortion, and getting those women connected with those types of organizations that are aligned to deal with that is huge. And I think this decision, to me, it was more of a, you know, we've really neglected that piece for so long, regardless of what the law of the land is. We have neglected that, I think, as Christians as a whole.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, something just came to my mind here as we're talking, and many people truly believe four men talking about this is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I've had the conversations. I know there are people who probably have turned the radio off and they are like, okay, I'm done listening to these four schmucks. I mean, literally, okay? Now, here's the thing I want to encourage you, friends. To me, if I would hear four men talking about this on the radio, that would hopefully trigger something in me of, these guys want to take responsibility. So many people have told me personally, well, this is just a women's issue because men aren't responsible enough anyway. They don't want to take care of the baby. Well, friends, I'm just going to be honest. I have 6 children of my own, two are sons and 4 are daughters. And here's the reality. If my sons end up making a decision that what I would say isn't a good idea to have premarital sex, and they end up getting a girl pregnant, you better believe I'm going to do everything possible to make sure they are responsible for that.
Amen.
And they take responsibility. Why? Well, because we're called to be godly men. Yes.
I mean, I would say even beyond men taking responsibility, which I 100% agree with what you just said, even beyond that, the church has to take responsibility.
There it is, James.
And you got James 1:27, you know, look after orphans and widows. I've got the Bible open to Isaiah chapter 1, because, you know, God says this, when you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me, God says. New moon, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Could you imagine God calling our church services worthless? The question is, why are they worthless? He says, then he goes on, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. Could our church services and worship and rituals really make God this upset? He says, they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. And then he goes on and tells his followers, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. So that's half of it. Stop sinning. Stop doing wrong. Here's the second half. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. This is what God tells us in terms of what he expects of us with handling people who are in desperate situations. How God's people are supposed to step up and not, I'm not saying bear all of their burdens for them. People have to take responsibility for their own actions. But if the only thing we can do as the church is give an opinion about abortion and celebrate a Supreme Court decision that we like, then we are falling woefully short of God's expectation and standard for his people. To step up and help those who maybe didn't want to have the baby, but if we're going to encourage them to have the baby, then we better be willing to help out with whatever it is they might need. We better be willing to get our own hands dirty, to be make our own personal sacrifices to help, even if it inconveniences us, even if it costs money we didn't want to spend. We better be willing to do what it takes to help these individuals who are in these desperate situations.
Amen. Even like foster children, you know, yeah. How many churches now are supporting foster parents? You know, how many children or how many churches are supporting adoption? You know, how many sermons do you hear on adoption and being a foster parent, or workshops even? You know, how many workshops are out there now where the church can physically step up and step in? You know, that I would love to see if the numbers have increased since this decision, because if we're not taking action, then what are we doing? We're doing nothing. You know, we can celebrate, but if we're not helping to alleviate that pressure on that young couple or that young woman, you know, then what good are we doing? I don't know.
You know, I think, go back to the Good Samaritan passage too. I mean, Jesus said, which one was a neighbor? You know, not the ones that sort of passed by and maybe made a judgment decision about them, but the one who stepped up and helped take care of the person's wounds until they were ready to get back on their own feet. So, you know, we're not talking about the church being responsible for taking care of everybody's burdens for the rest of their entire lives. We're talking about, you know, do more than just say you're wrong to get an abortion. Do more than just say you better have that baby. If you're a Christian, it's not about your opinion. It's not about your politics. It's about what you're willing to do to help out these individuals.
Well, I'll add this as well, and friends, I just want to encourage you to really consider what's being said tonight. Friends, the church is responsible, number one, absolutely, but it seems so many of us in the church have not truly taken on the responsibility as individuals. What we've done is said, well, I give into the plate, and those people over there take care of it. Well, yes, that's good. I'm not saying it's bad. That's not what I'm implying at all. James was brought up by Ben. It says to help the orphan and the widow. Friends, that's as an individual. Take responsibility. Logan even said, it might kind of hurt. It might inconvenience you. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's okay. Friends, there's so many things that we as individuals can do. And I know it's difficult. I'm thinking of a time where, friends, and this is just something I did personally years ago. Went to McDonald's. I don't eat there anymore because it's just nasty. No offense to McDonald's, but I wouldn't eat there if, yeah, I'm done eating there. Here's the thing, though. Coming out of McDonald's, there were some people there that, well, their battery had blown up in their car. Blown up in the engine of the car, and there was acid everywhere. Three people are there. A young man, probably someone who's his girlfriend, and a little baby in a car seat on the sidewalk, and they are stuck there because there's nothing they can do. Well, I found a trucker that was there, and he said, oh, I can help out, and I'm like, well, you can do this. And he goes, well, they need a new battery. So he and I went to the local battery store and bought them a battery, came back, and he said, I can put this in, and you go do what you got to do, because I had to do a live radio show that night. I said, you're good with that? Yep. This guy's from Tennessee. His name's Ian, and he put that in. Then we went out, had some supper afterwards, and broke bread together as Christian brothers.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, he had different color skin than me. Oh, imagine that. My skin's lighter, his skin was darker. And you know what? It's okay. as individuals, we need to start living out the kingdom of God. This is what 1 John 5 says. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begat also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is really important, friends. He's telling us how we love the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Did you hear that? How do we love others? By loving God and keeping his commandments. And then it says this, for this is love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, living it out in the real world. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Friends, we have good news to share. Let's not just share the good news, but let's go out and help people. There's nothing wrong with that. As in, it's okay when, mama's having trouble with the baby, she needs some formula. Or how about this? Formula's not there and she doesn't have any at all and can't even get it at the store. You know what? Older ladies, maybe you know how to make some formula or give that baby something that she can really eat. Help her. Take time out of your day and let's love. Guys, do you have anything you want to add?
I'll just add this too, just from, you know, being in church service, and obviously I'm standing up on stage and I'm preaching, and you know, we've seen, and I'm sure everybody out there who's been who goes to church, no matter what church you go to, you've seen this. You've seen the young woman or a young man or couple come in together, and they've got maybe 3, 4, 5 children, and it's just impossible to keep those children still, quiet. And so there's noise, and I'm standing up there preaching in the middle of a word, but I'm watching the congregation turn their heads and, you know, sneer at them and stuff. And then maybe later I'm hearing them talk about how distracting that was. And so we got to a point of friendship where we just said, look, here's the bottom line. I don't want to see any of you staring at someone who walks through the doors, because those children are all of our responsibility. Now, it's their responsibility to parent them, to take care of them.
Ultimately, yes.
But when they are here, if you're going to stare at them, you better be willing to get up and go help them. Mm-hmm. Go help. Hey, say, hey, can I take your child for a minute to help you get settled? If we can't even, you know, if we have such a bad attitude toward people, you know, that, oh, it's their fault and they're bothering me. If we can't even, like Jason just shared, stop and do something that God put us in a unique position to do in that moment, then we're not living out the gospel. You know, we might be preaching it with our mouths, but we're not living it with our lifestyles. And that's something, you know, Pastor Ben and Nick and I talk about all the time. You know, that this has to be something we're living out a lot more than just what we're teaching.
You guys got anything you want to add back there?
I think you have to also be comfortable knowing that the world's probably going to hate you because you're loving on these children and you're loving on these single mothers and you're loving on these broken families. And, I'm led to John 15:18, where, you know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you have to know that it hated me before it hated you. So when we become connected to Christ through salvation, when we surrender to him and we receive the Holy Spirit as a roommate, you know, we can now take ownership in that hate. And we can't let that stop us from loving and doing good and helping the weak and the broken. We have to dive deeper into that, I think.
Mm. Oh, I really appreciate that. Nick, you got anything you want to add back there?
Yeah, I'll echo what Ben and Logan both said, and when it comes to, you know, something that that Logan and I have discussed before is about, you know, what is the male's role in that relationship, and obviously the world looks at this as a woman's issue, but we also look at it as a man's issue when it comes to you know, choosing life, and really understanding and connecting with those men, us as Christian men, and showing them what is the right way to fulfill your role as the man in that relationship.
Absolutely. And friends, I just want to give us some practical ideas of maybe something you could do at your own church. Friends, I've written a book called How Being Consistent Changed Everything. And in it, I give practical ideas of what you can do at the church. One of them is just this, okay? Whether it's a single mother, whether it is a couple, and let's say they're not married, but they have one, two, three children, whatever it is, and money is short. Look, I understand. Look, they've probably made some bad decisions. But that doesn't mean you have to hold it over their head and keep beating them over. It's dumb. So how about at your own church, if you have a mechanic who knows what he's doing, why not say, you know what, we're going to have a day of oil changes here at the church. And we are going to give free oil changes out to anyone who comes through. Don't care who they are, they can just come. And we're going to go and tell the people that we see out there who are struggling, the single mom, the husband, the mother, who maybe they're just hurting. You know, they're not just orphans and widows. They're just totally down on their luck, per se. We're going to do everything we can to help them, and we're going to give them free oil changes. I'm talking about buying all the oil, getting the pans, you know, get the men of the church out there. And men, I'm talking about you, men. Yes. Get out there, give oil changes for 8 hours, and just make them happen. Change the oil for them for free. I know some people are going, oh my gosh, well, they got to earn it. Well, yes, some people do. But some people are not ready to do that yet. So let's be grace-filled and loving. Why is that so hard for us? Look, I know it is. It's hard because I'm a human being too. But let's help them out. Let's give them free oil changes. Now, some of you are going, well, but that's going to take money away from the guy down there, that 30-man oil change. Okay, I can fix that too. Ready? Here's what we can do. The church takes an offering and says, all right, we're going to take an offering, we're going to give free oil changes, and we're going to go over there to 30-minute oil change, and we're going to tell them, look, here's $1,000. You give out this many free oil changes today to all the people coming through. I'm dead serious. I know some people are going, that's terrible. I know, because I've talked to you. Look, are we going to be the church or not? People are dying and going to help. I'm sorry, but $25 oil change? Maybe it's a little more expensive now, $35. Come on. Isn't that worth someone's soul? Logan?
Absolutely. And if we're not willing to do that, you know, if we're not willing to show grace in that way, then we're forgetting what we've received. You know, we're forgetting what Christ is. Christ has already given us so much more than we've ever deserved. All we deserve is punishment. He gives us mercy. You know, we don't deserve. I mean, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Of course, grace is getting what we don't deserve. You know, continuing to give us many gifts, give us the money that helps pay for these things. And so I just want to encourage everyone out there, you know, just go and be the church. Be the gospel.
Absolutely, friends. And I just want to remind you about 1 Corinthians 13, because, look, you've heard it 8 million times in this program. If we get the love part wrong, what's the point? Friends, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. Friends, it's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. And love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. Amen. Love always protects. Love always hopes. And friends, it endures everything. Love does not fail. So let's go love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. You can find that there. And Ben, you know what? I'm going to give you the last word here tonight. You got anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I would also say that love doesn't have a political party. It doesn't wear a mask. It's just love. You know, God is love. And I think that's one of the biggest things we have to remember when we deal with strangers, and when we deal with family that may not see the way that we see. You know, just remember that sometimes we often say it, friendship, we have to share the gospel and then sometimes use words. You know, so it's really through our deeds and actions. And if we can continue to love on people, I think we're going to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Amen. And Logan, what's the website of the church again?
I think I'll get it right this time. www.friendshipcommunity.org.
There it is.
And, Brother Jason, I just want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure to come back here and do this with you again. And thanks to these guys for joining me.
And let's pray over Ohio, too.
Absolutely. It needs it more than you know. Have a great day, everyone. And you go out and make today great. We're going to finish with a little fast cast here, though, as we continue on.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Have you ever been so busy that you don't know which way is up or down? Have you ever been so busy for the kingdom of God that you are actually not doing much earthly good? You're busy running church or school activities or trying to do your homework in order to please your teachers and family with good grades. Or maybe you're just busy trying to get into that perfect college or busy with your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Being busy isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can, however, divert our focus away from God and His desires for your life. To dig more into this, find my blog post, which is titled, God's Will or My Dream.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
In Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.